Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Women Leading the Way Radio Show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today.
Good morning and welcome to Leading Women. Thank you so much for calling in, and we're having a very exciting show this morning. I'm Cecile Burriel, and I am your host. I would like us to introduce Cole Williamson, who is a director of human resources with Profile Institute for Clinical Research, and I'm going to ask him a number of questions today about diversity. And Cole, welcome.
Thanks, Cecile. Great to be here.
I'm glad to have you. And, you know, one of the things that's really important is with diversity and inclusion, you know, where is it today and how it's changed? And it's kind of like the topic for not only today but generally for diversity is serving up diversity and looking at it kind of as a menu. And what does Profile's menu look like? Are there more vegetables in the salad? Are there carbs? Is there protein? You know, is everything really favorable and a healthy mix, or just what it is? So my real first question to you is, where is diversity today, and has anything changed?
Well, Cecile, I think Profile is an excellent example of the community by which we do business. We're down here in the South Bay in San Diego. We have a really strong Latin population that surrounds our site. And coincidentally, our business targets an area, diabetes, that this population has a higher than average rate of in this disease state. There's a lot more people that are diabetic in this in the Latin population. So for us, it's about that cross section that matches not only who our study participants are, but also who our employees are. So I would say, to answer your question, we are a nice mirror image of where we're doing business right now.
Well, you know, that's really good to hear, Cole. I also know that as far as diabetes, there are a lot of people of color. There are blacks who have a high image and are having real concerns about diabetes.
Yeah, there's a high propensity there's a high propensity as well in that group. If you look at our current cross section of our subjects, yes, we do have a fair amount of black participants as well.
Exactly. Now, how long have you been with Profile?
I have been with Profile about 8 months, and I feel very fortunate to be here because I have a pretty extensive retail HR background. But when I found science, where I could do HR and science at the same time, it became my passion, and I've been very, very fortunate to work with a drug discovery company, big pharmaceutical company, a medical device company, as well as a couple of clinical research organizations, and now I'm at what I would call a clinical research organization or a clinical research institute, where we focus on the disease state and helping mankind find solutions to really tough disease problems like diabetes, insulin dependence.
Well, good for you and good for the organization. Now, have you made any changes since you've been there over these last several months? Have you made any changes in your diversity initiatives, or was there even a need for that?
You know, I think there is. I'm a I'm a talent acquisition recruiter by nature. I believe wholeheartedly in the power of really, really strong recruiting initiatives to bring in the right talent. And I think diversity, you know, and getting a diverse group, and that's not only, you know, an ethnic-based diversity. It isn't age-based diversity, a sex-based diversity. Here in San Diego, we also have to think about our veteran population. Remember, San Diego has more veterans in any municipality anywhere else in America. We're sitting on about 28,000 veterans here. So if you don't also have veterans in your diversity strategy, then you're remiss to look at another really powerful group out there, an important group. So I think that to go back to your question, yeah, it's been about recruiting. It's been about making sure that I'm tapping as broad a group as possible, so that when I do have an opening, I can look at lots of choices, knowing that with every next decision, that might be the person that causes the change in a process or a practice that gives Profil a competitive edge.
Good for you. So how do you make improvements, and improve the consciousness of the people in the workplace? And do you have kind of an idea of percentages as far as the breakdown of the employees and their ethnicities?
Yeah, I do, and I actually created a nice little template when I first got here, which was analysis of who we are at different age groups, at different tenure levels, and then of course ethnic origin, so that you could really take and look at who we are. And then interestingly enough, the data can prove itself out and is shareable with leaders and it's fantastic. But I think that the thing that was the most telling for me was looking back at pictures of employees that have been here over the last 11 years and looking at different interaction and different events and just kind of seeing who we are from a personality standpoint by looking at that history and that shared experience. And then trying to build on that and share that, as opposed to getting caught in hard numbers, which might actually be deceptive as to what's really going on in the environment.
Do you do any training of your current employees around the importance of inclusion and diversity and making certain that there's no bias or other issues in the workplace?
I think that we've really done one thing that was really interesting because this is such a unique business model. Let me just take a second to explain that, and then I'll go to answer your question. Because we actually have our participants of our studies here in clinical beds. We have almost 50 clinical beds, and like right now today, every one of those beds has somebody that slept here last night. And so you have a really close relationship between these individuals that you're taking care of 24/7 of a wide range of ethnic backgrounds and age groups and military status and sexual choices, et cetera. So you've got this great cross-section here in those 50 beds. And thus, the employee's intersection with that is hugely important because we have to treat them well. If you know anything about science, and especially when you go into study of humans, a lot of people join studies, they answer the commercial, they come sign up, they become part of it, and then they drop out because they weren't treated well or the experience wasn't for them. And so you've got to be really meticulous about how your employees interface with your subjects so that they stay for the duration of whatever. For example, one study that was just beginning when I first got here was a 7-week study for people to lay in bed for 7 weeks. That's a long time to be under the care and I was going to use that control, and I almost want to use the word love, but being kind of in a family situation under our control for 7 weeks is a really long time. Thus, the behavior and the attitudes of the employees, how the employees treat each other has to be exampled well all the time. How the employees treat the subjects, how leaders lead in this environment, all of that plays to the subject experience and the participant experience. So to answer your question, yeah, one of the first things that I did was I had a number of subjects that were not behaving really well, and thus they put a few of our employees into a situation where there's a little hostility and a little bit of energy. So one of the very first things that I facilitated when I got here was about how to intersect with the subjects and to appreciate who they are, where they come from, what we are putting them through, and what we can learn from them. And even go as far as to really appreciate you know, this opportunity to really understand somebody, because when you have this kind of an intersection, you understand a heck of a lot about somebody when you are, you know, caring for them on a daily basis. So I think that the intersection with the subjects has been huge, and I think that always going back to our values, we're a very values-driven organization, and we don't just have them stamped up in the CEO's office on a poster. We have them everywhere. We talk about them in new hire training. And then I come back with what I call HR orientation about a month later, where we really deep dive into our values and how we use those every day to make, you know, the right decisions and in our intersection with each other. You know, for example, I used the word innovation before. One of ours is about always looking for a better way as a value. Another one is a kind of a play on words, working with each other, not just besides each other, right? With as opposed to just beside. So to me, with is about understanding. Just to give you an example of a couple. Plus, we're very involved in the community. We support our disease state out there, and are very, very we're very present globally as well as within the San Diego community when it comes to diabetes, insulin dependence, and the work that's being done worldwide to fight those disease states.
That's incredible and absolutely wonderful, especially when you talk about going out into the community, because so much of the time diversity ends up being just internally and not going outside those walls. And so to hear what Profil's doing is very impressive. And you're obviously doing a great job with it too. So what has the impact been, say, within your organization, if any, with the inclusion of the younger generation? And as you know, also there's a return of older workers coming back into the workplace. Has there been any major impact, or what impact period might there have been?
I saw that question as part of the pre-read, and I thought about it a couple different ways. And I think first and foremost, your culture, and whatever a culture looks like, is the sum of the current members of the broader team and how they intersect with each other. I feel very fortunate here because we have the luxury of having lower level positions, positions where people come in with minimal skills. But yet, when I look at my supervisory group, how many of these individuals have been with us for 4 or 5 years, and they work their way up from the lowest level positions into these, you know, well paying leadership positions, and went from a potential career to a career. And thus, I think that appreciation, no matter how old they are, because a lot of them are younger in that stage, but we also have some older, more mature people that are second careering with us right now as well. And it's a similar path. We've got an organization here that without the classic HR discipline of succession planning and replacement planning and the templates and the drivers, we still have a pretty natural growth and attrition into people promoting through the organization and having a career here. So I think that fuels diversity, but it also fuels the fact that that loyalty says that the environment and the culture are something that people want to grow and be part of.
Thank you for that. What I'd like to do is take just a moment to recognize our sponsors.
Well, thank you, thank you, thank you. I want to say just thank you to a couple of our corporate sponsors in Connected Women of Influence. Our first one and our chairman-level sponsor is Trilogy Financial Services, who advises couples, families, individuals, and predominantly businesses by helping them with their wealth and student planning. And they bring a wealth of years of collective wisdom and experience to the table. So thank you to Trilogy Financial Services. And our second gold sponsor, or as we call our director-level sponsor, I want to recognize AV San Diego, who is a full-service audiovisual corporation specializing in conventions, corporate meetings, private events, and they have over 20 years of experience providing audiovisual equipment for conventions, conferences, and any meeting or event. So thank you to our sponsors, and Cecile, back to our program.
Thank you. You know, Cole, you and I have been around in the HR venues for a long time. We started very young, of course. And, you know, what's interesting about this is, you know, several years ago, what maybe up to 10 years ago, diversity and inclusion were big, 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 big. And everyone was coming up with the meaning of inclusion, particularly a national SHRM, the Society for Human Resource Management. If you look now where it is, and obviously your organization is very entrenched in diversity and inclusion, what do you think about the rest of the country? Is it still important, or has it perhaps, in your opinion, perhaps slowed down? What do you think?
Well, I think that there's a quick answer to this that we all have to keep front of mind. If your organization receives government monies, either via contract or by selling a product to the government, then you are in a place of OFCCP compliance. And when you have OFCCP compliance requirements,
right,
then you have to show a true effort to be a diverse organization and to be an organization that really does match the community by which you're operating, and then have processes that can be proven mathematically to actually support what you claim in the way that your recruiting is done, in the way your hiring is done, in the way your promotional processes are done. So if you take that and you say, okay, so how many organizations does that apply to? Not sure of a percentage there, I'd be guessing. So we'll just set those to the side and say, okay, so right there, part of your answer to your question, Cecile, is if they fall into that category, then it's a fixed component. It's not optional. For the rest, you've got to ask yourself, where are we as a diverse organization, and what does diversity mean for us? I think that when we first started this effort, and you're right, Cecile, you and I have known each other for the good part of, 15 years. I think when we both first started this journey and the effort was out there, a lot of it was just about race. And it was about studying and teaching and sharing and understanding, you know, ethnic origin. I think we got past that because we all realized that the mix of people around us is changing. They're changing in our neighborhoods, in our grocery stores, in our cities, and in our nation, right? And that by itself is causing a lot of change and a lot of change in attitudes. Yes, there are some individuals out there that want to hold on to the past like it was so glorious and so wonderful, and then resist the fact that this is our reality. Our reality is that the U.S. of A., which is always calls itself a melting pot, is truly a melting pot.
It is.
And so I think that the issues have changed now. I think that they've changed based on age, right?
Yes.
We don't do work like our parents do, and the people that we hire don't work like their parents did. And so I think you're finding that just how people approach work. It's not uncommon now for me to get a resume of somebody that's less than 10 years out of college that's already worked 3 or 4 places. You know, each had a couple years of development for them, and then they moved on. If you think about it, Cecile, 15 years ago, we'd have seen a resume like that. We'd call that a job hopper, and we had no interest in that person.
Exactly.
Instead, that person is doing what they've chosen to do or didn't have a choice. Maybe the economy caused the change, but they're moving through their career and getting growing their skills and growing who they are along the way, right? And so I think that there's this real difference out there of people in second careers, people that are trying to find their way through, individuals that are taking a really different approach than we took at their careers. Plus, I think you've got a couple of things that are unique to us now. Look at all the veterans out there, as I talked about before. I think I said 28,000. There's really 18,000 veterans in San Diego. But you look at that as a group. You look at our acceptance of the gay and lesbian population and the fact that more they're more prevalent in our society. They were always there, but we seem to be more tolerant and more accepting of their presence, you know, gay marriage. So organizations are having to adapt their policies and practices for that. Plus, the reverse.
You know.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to you're absolutely right in all, but go ahead and finish out your thought.
I could probably tangent on this topic for the rest of the radio show, but I think that when you look at it, Cecile, it's evolved because we're dealing with different issues than when we first stepped into this pool, which was about race, and now we're talking about a whole lot of other factors that are diversity and diversity related, and you know, age, marital status, with kids, without kids, ethnic origin,
religion,
sex choice,
disability,
and
mental.
Disability.
Exactly.
I didn't even talk about disabilities, right? Exactly. And there's another whole category.
That's a whole other realm.
Yeah.
It is. And now, as you know, it's not only physical disabilities, and a lot of physical disabilities can't be seen. So there's often question about are they really disabled if you can't see that disability. And then there's also the mental disabilities. And, you know, between the federal and the states, they don't necessarily collide well. So, and you're absolutely right in all of these things. And I can remember back when even certain, there were not acknowledgments of mixed races in the workplace. They just didn't acknowledge them, or they wanted to have it say one certain thing. I remember someone once asked me, they were talking about mixed races, and they said, what are we supposed to call them? And I said, well, I'm sure they have names. But it was so unique before people began to really look at there are mixed races. And now even the census takers put in that section of mixed race and how do you deal with them. But the key is we're still looking at employees and working together, like you said. And, you know, a lot of those folks who don't stay in a job long or that younger generation, they're looking for more. And a lot of reasons, as we both know, for the older workers to come back into the workplace or to stay in the workplace is because they've got the experience. And we're not even going to go into succession plans, but all of that plays a major role. And Your points are so valid, and I accept them, and I understand them very well. I have another question for you, and will probably be the last question that we have for today, is what about the medium-sized companies, or what about those emerging small businesses? Should they be looking at putting some kind of diversity program together, or particularly for the smaller companies, do they have too many other things to worry about at this point?
I would argue that a small company has to be better at it than a big company, and here's why. When you're small, you are constantly looking at ways to compete. You're looking at ways to change processes. You're looking at ways to evolve, to make yourself more relevant in whatever area of business you're doing business. What have I just said? I've just said innovation. Without diversity of thought, you do not have innovation. You cannot have innovation if you have a bunch of people that think the same way and come from the same place and have the same education and do the same things on the weekends, et cetera, et cetera. You've got to hire a huge cross-section of individuals with varied backgrounds and experiences to fuel innovation in organizations. Our parents, they worked for organizations that did things the same way year after year for decades.
Absolutely.
Today, an organization that behaved that way would be extinct in less than a decade. So your small organizations, your medium-sized organizations have got to constantly be trying to find a better way and look to build a competitive advantage by having an incredible cross-section of minds thinking and trying to solve problems. I think that there's reverse mentoring, which is something that I've just stumbled across recently and trying to learn more. Reverse mentoring is where you take really young people, new in the organization, and you bring them into a room or a meeting or a situation. You say, okay, well, what would you do if you had to solve this and you were in charge of this company or you were in charge of this division? How would you solve this problem? What would you do? And get coaching from younger people to older people just because you want to hear what they have to say. Whether you choose to do what they said but or not is the choice of leaders, but ultimately you listen to what they had to say, and along the way, did you learn? And if you learned, does something change in the organization based on what you learned?
I love that. I love that. Because the younger people they'll definitely tell you what they believe. And
yeah.
Whether we want to hear it or not, they're very, very straightforward. And they're our future.
There's no doubt. And they're taking in so much data right now through all the technology and all the devices that they carry, all the places that they go that we didn't even dream of.
That's true.
And thus, they very likely could find a way that we would never even, we couldn't even conjure it up. It's not in our scope, especially for individuals that are further down their career path, right?
And a lot of it's not in our DNA either.
Well, I was trying to come up with the right words. So yes, thanks for calling it a DNA issue. Yes, okay.
It definitely is, but you know, it's. I love the workplace today. Because there are so many opportunities to learn from others, whether you call it diversity, whether you call it inclusion, if we just are willing to open our hearts, because you mentioned heart earlier, and it has to come from our hearts, Cole, in order for it to be successful. And
Absolutely. That's
what I love about working with people in the various organizations as a consultant, because I really am looking for their heart. And it makes all the difference in the world. Cole, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with me today. I've just enjoyed it. And so that's really our show for today.
Thank you, Cecile, for the opportunity.
Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where life-focused, business-to-business, executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.